had a plan. God had a plan for his people. He was going to have a people in the Old Testament that we have read and studied about, the Israelites. And they had laws. They had priests. They had the tabernacle. They had an old covenant. And whenever Jesus came, it was all a part of God's plan. When Jesus came, that whole plan was going to be changed. Jesus was an integral part in God's plan. Whenever Jesus came, whenever Jesus died on the cross, everything was changed. And everything was changed, might I add, for the better. For the betterment of us, and that we might have salvation. That was all a part of God's plan. And that is what I'm going to look at this morning, is Jesus is better. And I got a lot of the ideas that I have from my granddad, Bill Hall. He's done lessons on this and Bible classes on this. And so that's where I got a lot of things. But Jesus is better. And we see that in the book of Hebrews. That is the theme in the book of Hebrews, is that Jesus is better. Jesus is better from everything in the old, and everything that is in the new is coming to light, and it is better. So if you're in Hebrews, turn to chapter 5. And I'm going to be looking at three points this morning. Jesus is our better high priest. He brings forth a better covenant. And he is a better perfect sacrifice. So the first point is that Jesus is a better high priest. And if you will, stay with me. I'm going to look at the Old Testament and the Old Testament version of the high priest. And then I'm going to turn to Jesus and see how he is better. So we're going to be making a couple of transitions this morning. So if you would, please stick with me on that. So Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 1 through 4. Let's look at kind of just a quick overview of the Old Testament high priest. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 1. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. How can have he can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So we see here that it's just kind of a quick overview of the Old Testament high priest. We're very familiar with that, if you would just think back. And the first thing about the Old Testament high priest that was not good is that the Old Testament high priests had faults and sins. They were just like any normal human. They had sins, they had struggles, they had faults that needed to be fixed, and they could not fix those because they were only human. They were imperfect. If you would turn to Hebrews chapter 7, we're going to be in Hebrews a lot this morning. Hebrews chapter 7, go to verse 28. We're going to see the imperfection here. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. So we see here their imperfection, their weakness, their men. They are going to have weakness. And so that's one thing. Another thing about the Old Testament high priest that we see that is imperfect is that they had to offer sacrifices constantly for the people and for themselves. So this, especially this point, keep this in mind whenever we go later, that they had to constantly offer sacrifices. Each and every day, we see throughout the Old Testament, it says offer daily, offer yearly, offer yearly. The priest had to offer constantly for themselves and for the people of Israel. So keep that in mind as we go later throughout the lesson. We're going to look at a couple passages here that shows how often they had to offer sacrifices. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 11 is one of those. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 11. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Now flip back with me to Leviticus chapter 9. We'll see another passage here. Leviticus chapter 9. Turn with me in verse 7. And Moses said to Aaron, "Go to the altar, offer your sin offering, and make your burnt offering, and make atonement for yourself and for the people. Offer the offering for the people and make atonement for them as the Lord commanded." So the Lord had commanded the Old Testament priests to make offerings for themselves and for the people, but we see how often they had to do that. If you're familiar with the Old Testament, there were so many offerings that had to be made, and Mr. Jeff has done a lesson on that before. We see how many animals were killed. We see just how much they had to do, and we saw at the end here in the end of verse, in Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 11, just, you don't have to turn there, but at the end of it, it said, which can never take away sins. So that's also something very important to keep in mind as we go throughout the lesson, the imperfection of the Old Testament priests. Also, another point that we can look at is that in the old priesthood, the priests die, obviously, because they are human. Turn to Hebrews chapter 7, in verse 23. Just like us, they're human, so they're going to die and put an end to their priestly service. Chapter 7 and verse 23 of Hebrews. "Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing." So they could not continue their service as priests because, well, death prevented them. They could not continue what they were doing because of death. Now, let's look at Jesus, our perfect and better high priest. He is a high priest with no fault. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 26 really shows this. And I'm going to try to emphasize, I am emphasizing Jesus this morning, so whenever I talk about Jesus is better and the Jesus part of my sermon, please really focus in on that because that's what I want to try to get across to you this morning. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26. "For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens." All those things that we read, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, those were all not qualities that the Old Testament priests had. They had faults, they had sins, but Jesus, he had no fault. He had no sin. He was perfect for us, and that is what we had to have. And God knew that is what we had to have to be saved and have salvation, because he is our perfect high priest with no fault. Also, Jesus makes perfect intercession for us. Hebrews chapter 25, Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, excuse me. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25 shows that Jesus makes perfect intercession for us. Now, this is something that really should touch us, is that Jesus is there. He's in the middle between us and between God, and he makes intercession for us to God the Father. So, chapter 7 and verse 25. "Therefore, he is also able to save to the utmost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." So, Jesus is constantly making intercession for us because we cannot do it ourselves. Jesus has to be in the middle for us. Also, something that I'd like to point out is, remember when I told you to remember that the old priest had to offer sacrifices constantly? Turn to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12. This is another point that makes Jesus a perfect and a better high priest. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12. So, it said in verse 11, "Every priest stands, ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins." Now, read with me in verse 12. "But this man," talking about Jesus, "after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God." So, Jesus, this is an important that our granddad really brought out to us, was Jesus sits down at the right hand of God while the priests stand ministering daily. I think people often miss this when they read over Hebrews, but it's kind of the idea. Okay, so for an example, think of a farmer. Think of a farmer who has been working in the field all day. He's been plowing. He's been doing all these things throughout his entire day. And then he comes at the end of the day and he sits down and he rests. It's the idea of complete. It's the idea of being finished. It's being like, my work is done. That is what Jesus does. He sits down at the right hand of God saying, I'm finished. I've completed my work. And the Old Testament priests could never accomplish that. They were always standing constantly, ministering daily to the things, the sacrifice that had to be done. And they were always standing. Their work was never going to be done. And that's just kind of the idea. When Jesus sits down, his work is finished. So that's a good thing that Hebrews really brings out also. Also, something that Jesus is that's better than the Old Testament high priest is that he is eternal and he never dies. Jesus Christ, he is an eternal being and a high priest that lives forever. Like we said before, he is eternal, so he's going to be eternally making intercession for us. He is going to live forever, and whenever, if we are found faithful in him and in Jesus Christ, then we can see him in heaven one day eternally. And so that's something very comforting to us all. My second main point is that it brings forth a new covenant. He brings forth a new covenant. So let's look at the old covenant. Underneath the old covenant, there was an earthly tabernacle that was made with hands. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9 and verses 1 through 5. Hebrews chapter 9, we'll read in verse 1. Then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and the earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared for the first part, in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. So this is just kind of another overview, a recap of what the tabernacle, what the Old Testament tabernacle was like. We see here kind of a comparison. Okay, so this, whenever the tabernacle was built, whenever it was made in the Old Testament, whenever the Israelites built it, it was made to be a type presence of God. Now, when I say type, I mean it was temporary. It was going to be just a version of the presence of God. That's what they had in the Old Testament. What we have now, we have the true presence of God. That's also something that our granddad brought out was, now that we have the true presence of God, He is with us. And compared to that tight presence of God, God is with us now. And we don't have just one building or one ark that He dwells with. He dwells in us and us in Him. And so that's something important that we can see also. Another thing is that it required perfection on our part. This was a big part underneath the old law, is that it required perfection. And we could not achieve perfection. We are humans. We are going to be imperfect. And that's what it's saying here, is that it required perfection on our part. Because in the Old Testament, if you know, there were Israelites, and they sinned, and they had faults and things like that. And so they were imperfect. And so in order for us to achieve salvation, we would have had been perfect if we were still under the old law now. But we are not. So now let's look at Jesus Christ, and He brings forth the new covenant. Turn to Hebrews chapter 8 in verses 6 and 7. Then we'll go to verse 13 after that. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6. But now He has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as He is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have sought for a second. Now, look in verse 13. In that, He says, talking about the previous passages, a new covenant, He has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. So God says there is need of a new covenant. And he had, since the beginning of time, he knew that that was not going to work. And so he has in store a new covenant for us, which we are under today, which we can have through Jesus Christ. So we have a heavenly tabernacle made without hands. That's one point. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9 in verse 11 through 15. In comparison to the old tabernacle, we have a heavenly tabernacle laid up in store for us. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 15. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with my own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of the heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Jesus Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the covenant, of the new covenant, by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. So we have laid up in store for us a home in heaven, an earthly or a heavenly tabernacle, rather, not made with hands. Another thing underneath the new covenant is that by God's grace, we can have salvation. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2. This is something also that's very important, is that only by God's grace can we have salvation. Not by following the law perfectly or by our own works, but by God's grace, we can have salvation. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. So this verse just simply states that the grace of God, it brings salvation, and it appears to all of us. It has come to all of us. So it is such an amazing thing to have access to salvation through God's grace. But to make the point is that we are going to sin. We all know this, that we're humans, and we are going to sin. So it was only by God taking the initiative and saying, okay, look, they're going to be imperfect, so I'm going to have grace on them. And that is something that we cannot even begin to think about thanking him for that, because we cannot do anything on our part to have salvation if it were not for God's grace. So that's something important that we need to think about too. My last main point this morning is that Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. So let's look at the sacrifices underneath the old law. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For them would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. So we kind of read a passage about this earlier. But everything, all the sacrifices underneath the old law were not able to take away sins, because they were, as we saw, offered constantly. And there were multiple sacrifices. So we needed a one perfect sacrifice to be saved. Also, we see that there were many sacrifices daily. Turn quickly to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 11. And every priest stands ministering daily, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices. So, again, we see in need of one perfect sacrifice, because in the Old Testament there were multiple sacrifices being offered. So now let's look at Jesus, who is our perfect sacrifice. This is a point that really should touch our hearts. And as we observe the Lord's Supper this morning, Jesus' death on the cross, his sacrifice, is something that really should just touch us every time we look at it. So the first part of Jesus being the perfect sacrifice is that he was unblemished, clean, and innocent. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to look at a couple passages saying that Jesus was our perfect sacrifice. He was unblemished, clean, and innocent. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from the aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Also, while you are in this mindset, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53, a familiar passage. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 7 and 9. Isaiah chapter 53. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearer silent, so he opened not his mouth. Go to verse 9. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Jesus Christ was the perfect sacrifice because he was innocent and clean and he had done nothing wrong. Jesus Christ did not deserve any of the suffering and anguish that he went through on that cross, but he did it because he loved us, and we're going to look at that here in a second. Also, another point is that it was one sacrifice to bear the sins of all the people. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9. It was one sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 24 through 28. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. So, it was one sacrifice to bear the sins of every single person in this world. Jesus suffered on that cross for each and every one of us. That is something very touching that we should always keep in our mind. And my last point that I have is that he showed the ultimate love for us by dying on that cross. It's a love that no one can ever imagine. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. This is one of my favorite passages. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. Pay close attention to all these verses. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all things Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus loved us so much that He went through the anguish of the crucifixion for each and every one of us on that cross. And that is an amazing love that we all need to keep in mind. Hopefully this morning I have helped you realize how much better Jesus is than everything. He is our better high priest. He brings forth a new and better covenant. And He is the perfect sacrifice. Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. And we need to realize just how amazing He is. The last point that I had was that Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. He died for all of us. We are not automatically saved when He dies for us. There is something that we have to do. God has set forth a plan of salvation. And in order to be saved, you have to respond. Jesus did not just die and say, oh, well, you are automatically in Christ, and now you're going to obtain that eternal goal of heaven. No. It takes something on our part. And that is to come to Jesus Christ and be baptized. We'll confess, believe, and then be baptized in Him. That we can be in Jesus Christ and then be raised a new man, and then that we may obtain that eternal salvation. If you're here this morning and you need to be baptized and be in Christ, please come this morning as we stand and as we sing.